HVAC, mobile. KX, KB4CPA, good afternoon.
Hey Dave, how have you been?
If it's any better, I couldn't stand it, man. I tell you, it's a beautiful day out here.
Tomorrow's supposed to be even warmer, I believe.
Yeah, I believe it is. And I played tennis at noon, and I'm headed to another tennis match at 4:30.
You're either going to play tennis or going to get food, usually, when you're on the radio.
Correct. one or the other are running to Walmart, something like that, so... Ooh, the sheriff's got somebody pulled over here in Sugar Creek. He had to run him down. I hope you didn't clock him going through the school zone back there.
Maybe they at least obey that one.
Yeah, there's two. I'm playing over here at Sugar Creek because the guy couldn't get a court at the sports club, so... And he lives here at Sugar Creek, so we can play here. And they actually have a lock and chain on the gate, so you just can't walk on the court. And so that's where I'm playing at 4:30. I decided to leave the house though early because I knew there'd be a lot of traffic there in front of Eastside High School, and there's an elementary school there, and then there's a Catholic school there. There's really three school zones right there in a row.
Where you're at over there, so I'm not familiar with that area.
My old stomping ground. I lived in Wellington Green, and then I went to Eastside High School and graduated from there. Wanted to go to Wade Hampton, but They changed the lines 2 weeks before school started, and I wound up going to Eastside.
Just think, you got to meet Steve and Phil that way.
Well, believe it or not, I already knew them though, because they both lived in Wellington Green, where I lived. In fact, Phil's property was just one lot over. From being right behind our house, so on the back of our property, so our house was on a corner. We had kind of a big lot because we had a corner lot, and then Steve lived in the, I think it was the second section of Wellington Green. There was like three different subdivisions, and I think he was in the second one, but I used to see him and Phil, you know, outside of school before we actually went to high school together.
Cool, y'all are still friends today and keep in touch with each other. It's unusual anymore.
It is, and I keep in touch with a few people that I knew in high school on Facebook, but not many. And Steve has got this group together. It's all guys, and it's like 72, 73, 74 graduates of Eastside, and meet the first Tuesday of every month at some barbecue place right there at Pelham and, what's the name of that road? I can't even think of it. But anyway, it's over there near 85 and 14, Highway 14.
Which one you're talking about, but I don't remember the name of it either.
Is it at home or are you still working?
I am done for the day, helping with something, and then Then I'll be heading home for the day.
Are you going to be doing the DMR presentation next month at the DX meeting? Yeah, because I'm really interested in that and like to know more about it.
To give you what I can.
Thing you know would be an improvement, because I don't know anything about DMR. And so anyway, but I've read about it. It sounds interesting, and you know, it's not real expensive to get into. So you know, I wouldn't mind getting into it. Just another aspect, you know, digital radio.
How it works and the capability of it. A lot of people think it's solely relying on the internet, which is a big misconception. It is not. And so it's just basically it's another mode, just like FM, single sideband, is all it is. Everything else, if you think about it, works a lot the same way other than programming the radios.
It'll be interesting to hear about it, and you know, I hope we have a good group of guys there. We haven't had a presentation in several months, so I have a feeling we'll have a good turnout for that, because you know, people want to know about it.
Basic how to get into it and where to start kind of presentation. If you don't get it right, it makes it a little cumbersome.
But any information will be helpful. Oh, me. And I got rid of, I'm a 23-4 runner. And man, I tell you, I'm having a time mounting the face of this radio. I've mounted it twice now with the it's supposed to be industrial strength Velcro, and it is coming off, or it wants to come off the dash. I don't know if it actually will, but it's not sitting like I want it to. The face is it's kind of leaning down just a little bit, and you can't see the numbers clearly on the readout there. So I got to do something about that.
I got rid of your Mustang. I was asking Steve about you the other day because I hadn't heard you on the radio in a while, and he said you've got rid of your Mustang and got the 4Runner and just hadn't got a radio put in it yet. And I heard you talking the other day about having to get out and deal with an antenna, and you've got your new antenna coming. I was curious if it's the same one that I have.
It's called a Compac, C-O-M-P-A-C, Tenna, T-N-N-A. Now I forget the rest of it. But anyway, it's like $139, and it covers 100 through 1,000 megahertz. It's 9 inches tall. And it's a MNO mount, and you know, the problem with the antenna I have is it's too tall and I can't get in my garage with it up, but it'll tilt over. It's a diamond, you just lift it up and it'll tilt over, it's spring-loaded. But, you know, I just don't want to have to go to that trouble every time I'm going in and out of the garage. It's just too much trouble.
So that is the same antenna that I got. I don't run it all the time, but I have run it and tested it, and it does do pretty good.
OK, good to know, because, you know, nothing else will work short of drilling a hole in the side of the vehicle, and I'm not going to do that. And, you know, I thought I might be able to put it on the lift gate, but then the lift gate, it scrubs when you close it, so that didn't work. So I tell you, it's just, I've got it on the hood, and I just put it, I had to put the car in park, and just, you know, open the door and reach out and tilt it over and then pull into the garage. And actually, when I'm backing out of the garage and I get out of the garage, when I open the door, I can just kind of slap it forward and it'll just go into position because it's spring loaded. So that's the easy part about it, I guess. But I'm just afraid I'm going to forget and drive in. Yeah, you know, it's going to mess it all up if I do that.
This testing that I did with it, that antenna likes to be toward the edge of the panel and not toward the middle. That is the way it's designed, is to be on the edge of something.
Or CBA. Well, that's good to know, because that's where I'm going to put it. It's going to be on the hood, but it's going to be up, you know, near the windshield. And so, but, you know, it's good to know that information.
A lift mount right there on the edge of the hood? Or are you going to use the two screws into the inside of the fender?
I have a lift mount receiver, so I'll just mount it on the hood like I've got this one, this diamond antenna. I mean, it's a great antenna. I just hate I can't use it because it does a great job. I just and the mount is the kind you can swivel it around and get your antenna straight up and down. You know, if you're not on a perfectly level spot and on your hood or trunk or wherever you're putting it. So I like the mount too, because it's versatile, and you know, it's really a great setup.
Got the diamond two-axis mount.
Well, at that, you know, it's got like two big washers, and you can twist them both. You loosen the nut on top, and you can twist them to get the desired angle of the antenna, you know, as far as getting it vertical, or if it's leaning forward or leaning back or whatever. And so they're thicker on, the washers are thicker on one side and thin on the other. So, you know, it gives you some versatility there.
Sounds like you got it figured out. But yeah, that antenna did me a pretty good job. I run it for a little while on the tool truck out on the mirror, because it doesn't require a big ground plane. It wants to be toward the edge of something. And it done real well out there.
That's good. Well, I guess I'll find out, but it's kind of on back order. The only place I could find it was DX Engineering, and they said they wouldn't have it in until March 16th, and then they'll have to ship it to me. So it'll be near the, you know, the latter half of the month before I get it.
That's kind of the story of the world anymore.
A lot of things. I know I went to the dermatologist the other day, and I had to get some stuff and some wash and some cream, and we ordered both of them on Amazon, and we had them the next day. It's just amazing.
what you can and can't get, or what it takes time to get. It just seems to be no rhyme or reason to it, so I don't know. I just accept it and move on. There's nothing you can do about it.
Day and time, if it's available, it's available, and if it's not, it's not. So, you know, there you go. Man, I've been seeing a good many, it's so windy, I've been seeing several birds, big birds, gliding, I guess you call it the thermal, or, you know, the wind, and they're just, they're not even flapping their wings, they're just floating in the wind, and it just looks like so much fun, because it's basically effortless for them, you know, and it's just real neat to watch. It's going to be windy out there on the court, so I know when we played at 12, it affected the ball, because it was blowing across the court, so if somebody put a spin on the ball and it was going in the direction of the wind, you know, it really made a big difference in the way the ball reacted when it, after it bounced, so you had to be ready for that.
Supposed to be windy the next couple of days, and then Thursday supposed to be, they're calling for higher winds.
I have two games today. I got two tomorrow, and then I'll be done.
I don't think you'll ever be done with tennis, Dave.
I guess. But anyway, that gets me plenty of exercise. I just, yeah, I just want to stay healthy.
Good. Stay up and keep moving. More you sit around, the stiffer you get.
Well, I'm reading an email here. I think, the game that I'm expecting to play tonight is actually, I'm playing tomorrow at 4:30. Well, isn't that just dandy? Can't say, I've done that once or twice before.
For HKX, I hope you didn't drive all the way out there for it and moved it till tomorrow.
Sure is. Oh, boy. Well, that was a nice drive. Now it's going to be even more fun going back. But anyway, I think I'll be like the wise man. I'm going to take a different route back home.
I don't know where you're coming from or where you're at, but if you could stay off of Wade Hampton or that area, you're probably better off.
Yeah, the this area right here is just so congested, especially around 5, and with the you know, the schools, and you know, some people stay late for, you know, different practices, whatever they're doing, and so they're getting picked up late, and then there's just a lot of traffic because people are getting off from work, and It's just a mess, and if you can stay away from Butler Road, it's a good road to avoid. It's awful, I tell you. It'll take you like 3 or 4 traffic lights just to get through one intersection.
I'm glad I don't have to go down in that part of town.
There's no automotive shops around here. Oh, me. Well, I gotta make a phone call here, so I'm going to jump out of here. But anyway, I'll talk to you later, Patrick, and after you finish with your last customer there, have a safe trip home. KV4CBA, clear after yours.
Good. Good to talk to you this afternoon, Dave, and hope you have a safe trip home. KO4HKX, and I'll be mobile and monitoring.
7-3, Dave. Enjoy your day. Good to hear you. KN4TFW.
How was your day?
Yep, it was good. Can't complain. It was uneventful and productive, so that's all I needed.
Sometimes those are the best days.
Competition.
That.
A Snap-on truck. One of my least favorite trucks.
Is it a black truck? The box is white, but the cab is black.
Notice. Hang on, let me see if he gets in front of me enough or turns enough I can see.
He's a pretty good guy. That's Billy. He'll have Billy the kid rode on the side of his truck.
I think it's all white.
On Wade Hampton?
Not here by the house, but he came out of from up there, like coming from Duncan, up there off of Gap Creek Road.
That's probably Doug going home. I've not met him face to face, but we talked on the phone a couple of times, and he seems like a pretty good guy. He lives up there, you know where the Sphinx is at up there. He lives to the right, that road that goes by the Sphinx on the right, or on the left, on the left, going up.
It's all white.
Thomas, he lives up the road from you.
Presentation at your DMR's presentation at the club meeting.
March the 16th at Mythos there at the club meeting.
KO4PXB.
KO4HX.
Good evening, Lloyd, KN4TFW, but unfortunately I just pulled in the driveway, so I'm going to have to say 73, guys, and enjoy your evening, KN4TFW.
Have a great evening.
Ken, have a great evening. I was trying to find out what the traffic report when I heard the word Butler Road.
If Dave was going to come back in there, he's on the phone, but... I don't know. I'm not over that way. And he didn't really say if it was good or bad. He said it was a little hectic, but waiting on red lights, but it was moving.
Good down to the 29.
That's definitely good, because the part of the Butler Road is what I traveled to on one of the side streets to get to my daughter's daycare. So I was just seeing if there was a major issue there that I needed to go a different way.
It was just routine traffic.
All right, then just typical the Butler Road.
Floyd?
Yes, sir, I did. It took me a little while to find one of the computers that was changed over because it was behind all the network rack switches, so you couldn't see it. So I physically had to get back there and find it. And lucky for us, it was labeled.
But I am getting ready to pull up at my next stop here, so you be safe out there, and look forward to talking to you on down the log. So KO4HKX, and I'll be calling your final, Lloyd, 73.
Sir, please be careful and have a great evening. It's KO4PXB.
PXB, KB4CBA. Hey, Ken.
If you're calling KO4PXB with a person's name Lloyd, then that is me.
I'm just going to call you Ken. I'm kidding. Sorry about that, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You're not the first person that has called me that.
I've been called a lot worse than my name, so there you go.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. I think you were the one that actually given the traffic report of Butler Road, correct?
So it's always like that. Everybody that drives that knows on a regular basis, they know to avoid it or you know, prepare to endure it. one of the two. So, you know, it's It's not a fun place to be.
In other words, take your patience out of your pocket and set it in the seat beside you.
Bless, I mean, you know, it's, you know, I guess you have to drive as if there is a highway patrolman sitting in the front seat beside you.
Yep, except, yeah, those roads like that that take patience because, you know, either the road is not right now organized for with enough traffic lights, or the traffic lights, they're set too quick or too slow, which ends up making the traffic worse.
CBA. Yeah, see, like, Brushy Creek crosses Old Spartanburg Road, and this is a four-lane, and Brushy Creek's a two-lane, so its light is really short compared to the, you know, east-north, where's it, east-north street? Yeah, Old Spartanburg. I think it's called east-north there. Anyway, you know, Brush Creek's a lot shorter because it's a two-lane road, and so you don't have much of a green light. And then the traffic, there's another light at the top of the hill, and traffic is backed up from that, so you can't get through the intersection, so you don't want to block the intersection. So it's just a nightmare. It really is. It needs to be redone, but I'm not sure what the answer is.
Yeah, like I said, that's the million-dollar question. And if you definitely want to ever set an extremely short light, set at the light right there on Highway 14 and Pelham Road, or even the one further up where it crosses onto Woodruff Road, that light will, on its worst times, in normal traffic, I have timed it where it lasts 13 seconds.
And I've been to some of those intersections, and people just, you know, they lollygag around, you know, starting off like they've got all day, and you know, you just want to get behind them and push them on through the intersection. So yeah, that's where my patience wears thin.
Yeah, right there on Highway 14 and Pelham Road, where they've made all that lane reconfiguration, where you've got that lane that goes right onto Pelham Road, people are not realizing that that's now that turn lane only, and they'll sit there and get almost all the way up to the very beginning of it, where the road goes straight, and then they'll just cut everybody off, not even looking.
I've seen that many times. There, I know exactly what you're talking about. I like to watch these videos on Facebook, and this one where they show some traffic boo-boos, and this Corvette's going down this lane on the highway that he's just flying, and there's a tractor trailer beside him, and the Corvette's lane runs out, and there's the concrete barriers, so he can't, you know, he can't move over onto a median off the road, and he gets sandwiched between the concrete barrier and the 18-wheeler. It just tears that Corvette all to pieces.
Definitely horrible. Hopefully he was okay. I think the funniest videos actually were, it's someplace up north, but it's an extremely low bridge that they've actually set a camera there, and they show the semis coming through there and trucks that have really high tops to them, and they'll just shear the top of those trailers off.
I've seen a bunch of those videos. In fact, there's a place in Greenville, off of Old Buncombe, right behind Poe Mill, where Poe Mill used to be, and there's a, it's got to be the lowest in Greenville, and I've seen trucks stuck under it
even you know, not tractor trailers, but just what I call a box truck, and they're just too tall, and they get stuck underneath it. It's it is a low bridge. I don't even know what the clearance is, but it's not enough.
Yeah, probably November or December of last year, one of the Carnival trucks tried to go on one of the low bridges right there on, like you get back on Howard Street, up right off of California Avenue, and all his signs for the Carnival and stuff was definitely too tall, and it got him and everything wedged up underneath of it.
I don't know if you've ever been inside. Some of these tractor trailers aren't, the trailers aren't made that well, and they're just like aluminum cans. I mean, you know, it doesn't take much to crush them.
And they may have done it that way for that purpose. If they get caught on a bridge like that, then at least it'll shear some of it off. And if they're going fast enough, they just go all the way through, even though it shears the top of the truck off, keep from getting stuck in the bridge.
For CPA, well, you definitely, you know, when you drive one of those, you got to know what your height is, and because those bridges are clearly marked, all the ones I've ever seen, you know, as to their clearance, and you don't want to test it.
Yeah, when I was in the military, we did convoy operations. We had a book that actually had all the bridge, whatever state that we were in, and it also had how much weight that bridge or something could actually hold. So we had to adjust the routes accordingly sometimes.
You know, it's one thing I don't see much anymore. I used to see, when we would go to the beach, we would almost always see a convoy. We'd either pass them or meet them coming the other way of military vehicles, and they'd run about, I don't know, 45, 50 miles an hour, and always, you know, slower than the speed limit, and I guess it's just easier to stay together that way. But anyway, but you don't see that much anymore.
Mostly what units have done now is they will actually go to whatever training site they go to, and they'll sign up equipment from there, which makes it a lot easier than to have to drive on the roadway getting your equipment there and the fair wear and tear on it. And they'll just sit there and get on the bus or vehicles that way, and they'll just meet up there and then draw the equipment from where they're at.
Talking to a buddy of mine that was in the Marine Corps, and he was telling me, you know, how they use commercial flights to move troops around and stuff. I didn't realize that they would do that sometimes. I thought they always, if you were in the military, you always flew on a military plane, but evidently not.
Yeah, it's easier, and there's a lot more spacing on the civilian aircraft than to put people on the C-130 and get them to that direction. Yeah, most of the flights I've always done in the military were also civilian. I rode a few C-130s and transport planes like that before.
You have those nice, comfortable web netting seats, you know, and a stewardess or flight attendant, and peanuts and a drink.
Of course, sure we did.
too, I imagine.
Yep, you're movie and entertainment is watching the person beside you or somewhere on the plane get airsick.
Be any fun? Oh, boy. Oh, me. Well, I'll tell you, yeah, flying's not my favorite thing to do. I have flown a couple of times, but, you know, it's just not my favorite thing to do. And, gosh, I hadn't flown since the 90s, and that was in a turboprop. And, you know, it was really strange. I can't remember the model, but it was a Delta flight. And it was a twin turboprop, and it held, it was a 35-seater, it had one little dinky aisle, just about big enough to put one foot in at a time. It had one seat on one side, two on the other, and I tell you, those things, right after I flew, we flew up to Elkhart, Indiana, and drove back a couple of ambulances from McCoy Miller. They were doing some, what do you call it? I can't make of words anymore. Anyway, doing the modifications for Greenville County and on the ambulance. And so going... Right after I flew that flight, those planes started coming down. They had some kind of problem, and several of them crashed. And, I'm just glad I wasn't one of those.
Yeah, I'm glad you're not either. Yeah, that would be scary to hear or even see.
We had to change flights on the way up there, and I forget where we were, but... So we got on a different airplane. It was the same model and everything, but just a different plane. And I looked at the engine on my side. I was sitting in the one seat side, and I looked out the window, and I could see the engine, and the back of it had a trail of oil coming out the top of it, where it had slung some oil out, and nobody had wiped it off. And I just thought to myself, my gosh, is this engine gonna be okay for this flight? You know, I just looked at that and I thought, that doesn't look good.
Yep, in those situations, you just go ahead and say a prayer.
Well, I tell you, I know my wife was praying because she knew how scared I was. And, but it really wasn't a bad flight. And the most interesting part of it was landing in Elkhart, Indiana, Great Lakes, I can't remember which one, but there was a crosswind on the runway about 45 miles an hour, and we had to land sideways. And so he's going down the runway, you know, and we're actually facing the terminal, and then he straightens it out just as he sets it down. I mean, he did a fantastic job, and then he had to hit the brakes and take a I don't know what you call it, but anyway, a path off the main runway as soon as he landed. And he did a fantastic job. He told us what he was going to do. He said, I want to hit the brakes really hard, so be ready for that. And boy, he did. And we had to make a left turn. And but he did a fantastic job landing that plane in that wind.
What you're talking about, it's all actually called crabbing, where they're sideways to the runway, and they'll do that a lot. If they, like I said, with bad winds, you want to see a scary place that I wouldn't even want to begin to land, and it would definitely take an extreme pilot to do so. Look at that runway videos. That's actually in Papua New Guinea, and it's just on the top of a mountain that the villagers built, and it is just beyond short.
CBA. Well, I've watched several videos of pretty large, like jets. They weren't Lear jets. They were bigger than that. And this one place, I can't remember where it is, but the runway does look short from the air, and the pilots have to be certified to land there. You have to have special training to land there because it's in between two mountains, and so you have to, you know, come in real, at a real steep angle, and you're turning, and it's just it's just unreal, and so you have to have special certification just to land there.
Yep, I've probably seen that same video where they pretty much has to really do a real quick nose down, and then once they wheels touch the earth, they just immediately start applying the engine brake and the foot brake.
I've noticed is they've changed the design of the reverse thruster, if they use one, because evidently they were deploying in flight and causing some planes to crash or almost crash, and that would be scary. But now it seems like they just use a lot of flaps to slow the plane down and the brakes themselves.
Yeah, these people that engineer these planes, they definitely come a long way in making those processes where they use the flaps and engine brakes.
Wait, well, I'm sitting in the driveway here, and I've got my antenna's too tall for me to pull in, so I've got to tilt it over, and so that means I have to get off the air. So I guess I'll talk to you later. Then I'll go back out and have a 7:30 game, like I was supposed to do in the first place. But anyway, 73s, I'll stick around for your final, KB4CBA.
Sir, please be careful, and I'll definitely talk with you another time. KO4PXB.